Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about Kobe Altman, which we've talked about a little bit, but we're going to talk about a little bit more. We're going to talk about Jared Allen and an extension for him, since there's some stuff out there about that, and I have a piece coming out about that. And we're going to talk about Summer League coming back and the timing of it and a whole bunch more. Before we get going, I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 calories and 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it is only worth it if you enjoy it. Again, go check out Michelob Ultra. Wherever you buy beers, be safe if you're drinking. Evan, let's talk a little bit more about Kobe Altman. We talked about it on the pod, but if people are watching us on WKYC or maybe just tuning in for the WKYC portion of this or for whatever reason, there's some chatter out there that Kobe Altman could be on the hot seat, is going to have his job status reviewed by Dan Gilbert, could very well be let go. I was talking with friend of the program, WKYC's own Ben Axelrod, today on about, like, Ben was like, hey, did you get an email about Kobe, like, about him doing a postseason meeting? I said no, and he had, like, the time he did it last year was, like, certain number of days after the season ended. Haven't heard it. We obviously haven't heard anything. You and I have both sort of, you know, you can see this via social, you can see this via asking agents and things, that we're not going to do exit interviews. With they're one of the few teams, if I think one of very few teams, that doesn't do exit interviews for their players. They're not going to hear from the players again until Summer League at the earliest, probably not until training camp and media day. So that is where we're at with this. But Evan, as you've thought more about this Kobe Altman situation and the possibility that he could be let go, and that, you know, there's obviously like a Brock Oller would be seemingly be the replacement that would sort of be lined up, barring something that maybe hasn't developed yet or they've kept quiet. Like, what do you just imagine? What do you think about this? If you thought about this more?
Well, I was on 92.3 The Fan with Jonathan Peterson last night, and he actually asked me this exact question, like, how do I feel? I'm not surprised. Let's just put it this way. If Dan Gilbert is the owner of your franchise, I think you're on the hot seat no matter what. Like I said, J.B. Bickerstaff did a fine job, I think, with what he had this year record-wise. I don't think you can completely condemn him for it because he can't handle injuries and things like that. But if Tom Izzo, the head coach of Michigan State, and Dan's alma mater calls tomorrow and says, hey, Dan, I'm thinking about coaching pro and I want to coach the Cavs, Dan will fire JB on the spot and hire Tom Izzo as a head coach for like the next 10 years or something ridiculous like that. But the same goes for Kobe. But I'm not surprised, but I think the Cavs need to be patient with this, because Chris, you and I have said this a lot, and I've said this in multiple places as well. This is the most important offseason in Cleveland history. And not Cleveland, I mean, history, at least in the last few years, and especially
most important since LeBron's free agency,
well,
like when he came back. I would say that, because I think everyone sort of knew in 2018 he was walking, but the possibility of him coming back, that's probably the most important one. This is maybe the most important one since then.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because every offseason after that was like very key, and like the Kyrie offseason happened. Like, it's complicated, but it's extremely important. Continue.
It is really important, just because there's a lot of key decisions, and I've said this a lot, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but there's a lot more questions than there are answers about this Cavs team heading into this offseason, and some of them include, what's going to happen with Kevin Love? Is he going to be traded, or is he going to be bought out? That's a decision Kobe has to make. How much money are they going to commit to Jared Allen? That's a decision they have to make, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. Colin Sexton is extension eligible, but they could game it and wait till restricted free agency next year, but I think that's a risky proposition if you want to upset his camp, and especially when the organization has propped him up as the franchise cornerstone and the face of the franchise. Like, that's risky. Maybe you want to sign him now. That's a big decision to make. There's the draft. There's free agency. There's so many things, and I think it's a huge misstep on the Cavs' part to fire Kobe at this point. Maybe just shorten his leash. I don't know, maybe Mike Gansey is the option as the backup, just as a temporary solution, or maybe Brock Oller is hired if Kobe does get fired. But you ride this out, see how it goes next season. I think Kobe will be under the gun. Maybe we see the Cavs make a few more win-now moves, in a sense, and depending on how the draft pick goes, let's say they get Evan Mobley or Cade Cunningham, I think that fixes a lot of things. But my biggest thing is, winning fixes everything, and it solves a lot of these issues for this Cavs team, at least with Dan Gilbert's patience and limit to watch his team lose for all the money he's spending on it. If the Cavs win and they come out strong next season, I think things are a lot better. But Yeah, I think the leash is going to be shortened on Kobe, but I don't think he's going to be fired outright. I mean, actually, at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But that's just the optimist in me hoping that Dan Gilbert will give Kobe this offseason to try and see if he can build a quote-unquote.
I think the thing that is interesting that I didn't realize until I was doing some reading some various commentary about the team on this nugget from Terry Peluto, who I think sometimes his current NBA stuff is interesting, but I think this point was correct. Kobe, it's just factual. Kobe Altman is going into his fifth year if he's not fired. That if he gets through the whole year, that would tie him with Danny Ferry as the longest tenured GM in the Dan Gilbert era.
And Danny Ferry was the first.
And then it's Chris Grant, and then it's David Griffin, and then it's Kobe Altman. And Kobe Altman obviously would be like an extreme sort of example. We'll talk about the Jared Allen thing of it as well, but like I understand that there's like this impulse to be competitive and see drastic change soon. I just think like the more and more I think about this, like I don't think I'm not a Kobe fan because I think the lack of interaction with the media I think is silly. I think the way they've sent out press quotes attached to him and he doesn't talk like a normal human being in those, like I just don't feel like anything authentic coming from these. Like this isn't a news.
I've always called Kobe a used car salesman.
But I would like love to.
Where he will gloss up.
I would love to be proven that that's not true. But every time he talks, like I will just never forget, like him talking about like at the Jared Allen press or the last time we heard him talk, except when he did an interview with the Middlebury College newspaper. Maybe we should get that guy in the pod. You know, like hey, what can you? Do you have Kobe's Zoom name? Like just bug him for it. Buy him like a case of beer or something. As Evan knows, like media availability really gets me going, and like it gets me going too.
I can't help but laugh, and I'm also just like detaching myself and social media and the general discourse.
Have you noticed the few tweets I've sent from the Lockdown account now that you're haven't been using it? No, but have you noticed the tweets that I specifically have sent out?
Yeah, you posted the Luke Jackson one, and then somebody asked why did you post him?
Like, okay, that's pretty good. That's better than anything I had. And I said after 3 days in summer league, you were going to be Joe Pesci in Casino. Which, yeah,
that could be worse, man. Joe Pesci. There's worse celebrities you
casino,
could be in.
Great,
Joe Pesci's
great flick,
not a bad
Scorsese.
One. We're in the timeline of the Locked On Cavs audio-matic universe.
Watching Sopranos right now, which is a mafia great time. But,
oh, dude, when he runs down
pick,
that
I
guy
gotta
in
say,
the first
out of him,
episode,
like the,
it is
him,
so funny. And then when his son asks about the ZD, still gets
that kid,
me to this day.
That's the peak for that Soprano. But the soccer episode where like they're getting like they're really pissed about this high school soccer. He ends up being a creep, but they're like extremely mad that this high school soccer coach is like gonna leave. They're like you, like amazing stuff. But let's go.
You know, it's one more thing about the Sopranos before we jump back. It's so funny that they brought back Tony and his wife. And they admit that Tony is in witness protection living in downtown New York City, and they use it to recruit LeBron to the Knicks. I just think that's so funny. And apparently that's canon, and no one can find the tapes to the bowels of MSG, but I'd love to watch it just for morbid curiosity's sake. It's like when I learned today The Emperor's New Groove was supposed to be like a follow-up to The Lion King in terms of like cinematic like Marvel, and then it became too expensive for Disney to put the kibosh on it. But
firing Kobe, or in the words of Tony, whacking Kobe, or like firing JB, or anything like that, like actually solves your problems. Like none of this solves your problem. No, like the NBA, when you're not a destination market, you need to be a bunch of things. But the number one thing I would say is patient. You need to be patient and let these things grow. And yes, there are financial realities that makes this very complicated. We will talk about that. But I think when you're considering like how you build out this roster, how you build out this team, like Kobe Altman's 5-year tenure is a very weird 5-year tenure because it's end of LeBron into this new era. It's basically like two different Cavs eras, and like JB was like the same.
Well, wouldn't you subtract the first two years because it's the last year of LeBron, you trade Kyrie Irving. That's an untenable situation.
Well, that's my point.
The first
like, you're
year
you're gonna have this cliff,
you gotta build
and then
back
like
up.
And then you had the COVID season. Those are his first three seasons. That's like an insane, like I'm not, I don't want to, like, I'm, Kobe, I'm not going to be a dick to you. Like, just come talk. I have basketball questions. Like, I'm sympathetic to you. This is a hard job. Okay? But, like, I look at this, and it's like, this is an extremely hard thing to do. You've had three bizarre years. You had a condensed season this year. You, the head coach that Dan wanted, and then you had to spin as your hire because you met him at a wedding or some shit. Like you then had to replace him with JB, and then, like, you're just going to, like, fire. Like, there's just nothing about this that screams patience and actually seeing where this goes. And, yes, I'm willing to understand that there are financial contractual realities with the players that can make this complicated. But I think you need to, like, lay the foundation. And, like let's look at the Jazz, for example, a team that a lot of people in Cavs Twitter would be like, okay, there's a template here for the Cavs to get there. Like, the Jazz not only, like, were making moves to, like, upgrade at certain spots and, like, go get Mike Conley or, like, you know, getting Bogdanovich and, like, getting Jordan Clarkson and taking swings at different spots, but, like, Quinn Snyder, with Dennis Lindsay's support and with ownership's support and ownership's patience, gets the time to layer in things into their defensive scheme, gets time to work with the players and develop them, develop bonds, develop trust. This takes time. You cannot spring this. And, like, if you're just like, okay, we're going to fire Kobe, and, like, I'm just going to promote this, go hire this guy from the Knicks who worked direct with me for 10 years, or I'm going to promote Mike Gansey, or, like, I'm going to throw the bag of money at Chauncey Billups to come here, or something crazy, it's not going to solve your problems. You're just going to keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again. You have to break the cycle. And I think that's the barrel they're staring down. And I think, like, not to be an extreme pessimist, but if, like, it would be extremely, like, lucky in my mind if they, like, fire Kobe and, like, do all these changes this summer and, like, push the button too fast and make their life more complicated. You want to be it, remain a laughingstock franchise. That's how you do it. That's just how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really is the case. But, Chris, let's put a pin in this for now. We'll come back and talk more about Jared Allen. But we have some bills to pay. I'm zenning out. And yeah, there you go. Find your inner Zen.
I'm just gonna
do some peyote, like Phil Jackson.
We'll do, like, Locked On Cavs vibes. We'll do, like, a meditation pod. And the mantra will just be, I can't even believe that I'm, like, here, like, defending Kobe. It's unbelievable.
ASMR Locked On Cavs. But let me give you a word from our sponsor, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
Okay, Evan, let's talk about where we're at now with Jared Allen. So it's been out there that...
If I had the time for WKYC, I'd run and go put the Fro Ohio shirt on over my Cavs raglan.
I wore shorts season, to work today. I was sitting outside working for a little bit, and this little porch area at my day job office, and it was so hot that my phone overheated. Like, did that thing. I was, like, listening to some Phoebe Bridgers, as one does, because I'm just a sad boy, and was not listening to Kyoto, Jeff, but my phone overheated, and I was like, "Oh, this is it's May in Ohio, so it's like predictably like that random 80 something day, and it's nice, but the weather's good." So, Evan,
mm-hmm. you know who else's phone's gonna get overheated? Jared Allen when he gets
that $100 million number that's been out this week, I believe, comes from Terry Pluto. And did it come from Fedor?
No, Terry says 125.
So I'm looking looking at his comm right now. He said
over five.
He said this is his thing.
They're
going to give Allen a $100 million or more extension in a contract extension. Having both wasn't going to work. This is in reflection of Drummond. And then he said an NBA executive suggested the Cavs could consider that because it's strategy to cap crusher pay Allen and Sexton both long term. contracts over $100 million. And then you like that's where like the Colin Sexton like isn't a max guy thing comes in there. So here's I think I have a piece that it's going to come out. I think early next week we're going to save it, but I basically wrote about Jared Allen as the base of a defense, right? Like Jared Allen is this guy who you can take and you can build a defense around and you can do some really interesting stuff with. There's teams that have done this. Utah is one. Atlanta's kind of, I think, the better comp considering like the small guards, in their case, guard Cavs case, guards playing it. And Capella is more, I think Allen is more.
Well, to be fair, Atlanta has
Allen
the
is also more akin to Capella skill wise, I think, than Gobert, right?
Well, I think that's also unrealistic.
Well, it's also another guy that they took time to like build up and like
year
there's a lot of like layers to like that he got developed properly, right? Like there's just little like layers to this.
I know. I think I get frustrated with that Utah comp. Like I get the Portland one a little bit because Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are completely different players from Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, but they're an undersized backcourt and you have to build around that. And I have a piece coming soon about why the Cavs maybe should throw the bag at David Vanderpool to replace that absence by Lindsey Gottlieb, but get you back on track.
I think the
Utah comp frustrates
and, like, I think like the Portland one is one I stuck to for a while, but like I think Allen's very different than what Nurkic is. Like Nurkic is a much better passer, plays more low to the ground. Allen is a little like scrawnier. He's a little like, you know, he is more of a like a vertical lob threat as opposed to the Bosnian beast who's like a real bruiser. There are schematic comps where you can funnel, like, basically the scheme you'd play is not dissimilar to what the Cavs have done, but you funnel everything back towards Jared Allen. You try to have, if you believe he's good enough, he can functionally defend two guys in space, and then your guys on the perimeter can stick with their shooters, so you're going to limit three-point attempts. You're going to try to get him to have to beat Jared Allen out the rim or take mid-range shots. And that's the function. That's the basic premise of your defense. Like, that is your starting point question. That'll obviously change when you go to bench units. You know, Isaiah Hartenstein is just less mobile. He fouls a lot more than Jared Allen does. Jared Allen is like in the top 1% of centers in terms of, or bigs from cleaning glass in terms of foul rate. Like he doesn't foul at all. And he's got a top like 3/4 of the league block rate, which is astounding. The question I think.
That is crazy. He averaged 1.5 personal fouls per game this year.
Extremely impressive. One of the concerns I think you have is just like, okay, like how much is it worth to pay this guy? And like, I think the one thing that I'm not going to get into in the piece that maybe we can discuss here is like, I think the max number of 5-year deals you can have on your roster at a given time is 2, correct? So would you, I don't know if I would burn one right away and Jared Allen this summer. Like you have to re-sign him. But that's where the $100 million number becomes. If you're paying him 25 a year, I think that's
Jared
too much.
Allen,
I think 18, 19, 20 is about where I would pay, and it's maybe slightly overpay to make it palatable for him to stick around. And it's still then a tradable number if things go sideways and you have to like reboot again, which again, very possible. Even though he's 23 and on your timeline or whatever, but like the Cavs are weird and everything. But my point sort of is like I don't know if you're burning the 5-year contract at him right away. And secondly, I think he's good enough to not to be a center that you pay. I think there's a limit, and you're also betting because he's 23 that he's going to get better, not just on defense, but also become a more comfortable guy as a maybe that foul line jump shot he likes becomes a more reliable weapon. Maybe maybe the Cavs offense improves and he gets to dunk a little more than he did at times this year. Maybe. Because he got pushed back like 5 feet based on how much teams were packing the paint against Cleveland. Maybe, he gets more comfortable in DHOs and passing off the top of the key. Like, there's little things that he can get better at that would make it more worth it. So I'm intrigued. And I think for me, I would be trying to sign him if I could before he even gets restricted for agency. It's sort of format on this.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say Cleveland in the draft lottery gets a second pick, and I think that's Evan Mobley at that point. Does that change the calculus?
I think not right away. I'm sort of at the point where I think regardless of what you do, I'm buying out Kevin Love more than anything. That's where I'm sort of at.
Welcome to the club,
man.
I've been here for a while.
I was talking to some people.
I'm glad you finally came around on it.
Writing this story to make sure I wasn't crazy. And the more I just thought about like building the defense that you would try to build with Jared Allen and the two small guards, I think just as much as I think if Kevin is not going to be like the good soldier Kevin and like play engaged basketball on the defensive end and rebound and do the stuff he can, like you might be asking Jared Allen to cover for him and then also like cover for the paint, and that's just like going to stretch Jared Allen too far. It's asking too much of him. Maybe asking too much of anybody.
Yeah. Well, asking too much of
like Isaac creating more problems.
Defensive miss.
So I'm kind of there, but then like, so what you do if you get two and you take Mobley?
I agree.
And like you decide, okay, we're gonna take Mobley. He's our number two guy. Then like I think you could. Jared Allen's gonna be tradable. I think as long as he doesn't get hurt or anything bad happens. You know,
I trade him.
It depends. It depends on what kind of offer you get.
Sell high as you can.
That's the tricky part of it, right? And like maybe you could do a sign and trade.
That's true.
But then I think of that, like, you also got to figure out the Hartenstein situation. He has a player option. Like, you'd have some moving chess pieces. I think the most fun option is, like, you get to take a wing. So, like, let's say they can take a Jalen Green. Or if they slide back and take, like, Scottie Barnes, Jalen Johnson. I think you want to get to a world where, like I think you can get enough serviceable minutes out of Torian Prince. I think you can... get enough minutes out of the guys you have. Like Larry Nance is obviously still around right now, and he can play. But he's going to play the four, and I think it would be a good defensive fit with Allen once you get the kinks worked out. I think you can do a bunch of different stuff to sort of approximate good four play, and then like maybe you can develop Scottie Barnes, maybe you can develop Jalen Johnson, maybe Okoro can get bumped up and play some four in some certain spots because he's I think certainly going to be strong enough. So I think you have options, but I'm sort of just like I think you can do some really interesting stuff with Jared Allen, and I want to see the Cavs like embrace it. And then also a thing that will be key is giving it time to grow. Like you need to layer in stuff over time. You need to take advantage of having a real training camp this year, and like if you're going to build the way you talk about defense, you can't finish 25th in defense next year and be like, we're a defensive first team. You got to build around Jared Allen from day one of training camp and maximize him in that end of the floor to make things easier for everyone else. So your offense can then take off.
Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree. I'm not trying to brush you off here, but I'm cognizant of time as well. Am I crazy to think that there's no young player on Cleveland's roster that's worth the 5-year max? Like, Colin Sexton isn't worth it. I don't think Darius Garland, I'd comfortably give it to him. Isaac Okoro, don't worry about that.
That's not crazy.
Jared Allen as well. I don't think I'd give it to any of these young players. They're going to have to flirt. Everyone thinks Colin Sexton's worth the max. People think I think they should give Darius Garland max. I absolutely do not think Darius Garland should get the max 5-year deal from Cleveland. I think both of them should be paid handsomely because they're both fun players, and the Cavs have to pay a little bit higher than maybe a luxury market team in order to keep some of this young talent. But no, I think I'd keep those 5-year maxes in my back pocket for, let's say, you draft a Cade Cunningham this year or an Evan Mobley this year, or you look down next year, you got Emony Bates, who opted out of Michigan State, breaking Dan's heart, but I think he's going to the G League Ignite program because it's proving successful for some players so far. Guys like that, like a transcendental wing player or a player you're like, okay, there's something. Like Evan Mobley, there's something about him. Like, it's like, it gives me a little bit of, like, I hate the term unicorn, but he's got unicorn vibes to him. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Cavs do. And this is going to be a very common conversation and talking point until August when the preseason officially begins. So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild. But speaking of crazy and wild, Chris, the Summer League was announced. But why don't we pay some sponsors
Words to our sponsors? Yeah, so you got our first one. That's our friends at BetOnline. We can
talk about that. It is our friends at BetOnline, and for those listening, we'll talk about this in the next segment, but we're going to try and go to Vegas this year for Summer League and get up and close to the Cavs' new rookie and just any new NBA rookies in general and have fun. And maybe I want to get more acquainted with sports betting between now and then, and I can use our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts in the
exclusive. Also want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 9 delicious flavors right now, and plus the occasional limited time flavor. Their 9 flavors right now are coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. My favorite flavor of those, Evan, I know I said mint brownie earlier this week, but I had a coconut one today, and it was great and super good. Just like a coconut candy bar.
That's a good one. I like cherry raspberry. Well, and cherry, I like the way you said.
I kind of was talking too fast. It's cherry.
It's a good one.
Raspberry. They're not. It's not cherry raspberry. We're just free ideas right now, Built Bar. But most Built Bars, if you don't know, are filled with 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. And some of their flavors, like the peanut butter brownie, for instance, has 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, but just still 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com on your order. Evan, let's talk about Summer League. So it's coming back. And the thing that I've never been. I don't think you've been either. I'm excited to perhaps go. You and I are figuring this out a little bit.
Yeah, there's some logistics behind it. Hopefully your wife will let us borrow her purple motorcycle and take it across country, and we'll vlog the whole thing. We'll do more video episodes like this where Chris and I'll be sitting out in the middle of the desert using our phone as a hotspot to record it.
The thing about Summer League that I find sort of interesting this year is that it's 10 days after the draft. That's quick. And I understand this is a condensed offseason, but that is quick.
Yeah, that's wild. And oh, it's super quick. I mean, obviously the rookie that the Cavs take is probably going to play.
Yeah, they haven't said that they're going to participate again. I don't even know if that's happening this year.
Well, Orlando's happening because Detroit's front office shared that Killian Hayes will be working with the coaching staff in Detroit, but he will spend a little bit of time in Orlando as well with the new rookie along with Sekou Doumbouya and others. So I think the Orlando Summer League is still happening, but I think all things considered, it's exciting. I don't know. I enjoy Summer League play. That's where Colin Sexton really endeared himself to me at times when he, slapped the floor and tried to, Josh Hart, while he was with the Lakers, tried to lock up Josh Hart and he almost dragged the Cavs to the Summer League championship. Like, that was fun. And I don't know. I think Cleveland could have a fun and interesting squad. You're going to see some more from Chris's guy, Fiondu Kagan-Bailey, a little bit. You're going to see more of Jeff Nomina's guy, friend of the pod, Jeff Nomina's guy, Broderick Thomas a little bit. You're going to see more from some players that maybe just, worth a garter and worth an interest.
You're not going to see
Okoro. But I don't think we'll see Isaac Okoro at all.
I would want to see Isaac for one game, just because give me a little tease. Give me like a small little hit of the good stuff just so I can get an idea of what he might look like heading into year two. That's the point, though.
It'll be like watching a grown man defend a child. It's like when my high school football team played Toledo Whitmer, and my dad filmed the game, and you can hear him lean over my mom at one point and go, "Jesus Christ, it's like watching grown men play boys," and we were losing 56-0 at halftime. But either way, Isaac would put the clamps on any young guard. Like, I would feel bad for Cade Cunningham if he was, let's say, he's drafted by Oklahoma City or Houston or something, and let's say Kevin Porter Jr. is in there with Houston just for some spicy drama, and it's Cleveland, Houston.
I think you're not going to see Sexton, you're not going to see Garland. I think the guys I would want to see are Kagan-Bailey would be one, Stevens, Broderick Thomas, Jeremiah Martin. You'll probably get some guys from Canton. I'd have to look at the roster to kind of see who popped there this year, but I think some guys there you could go get. I think Vincent Edwards was with them and he was with the Rockets. I don't know if he's still on the roster by end of the year, but he would be a guy that was like a fringe NBA player that could maybe be worth a look. Will Dean Wade go is a question. I think probably not. He's a little more established at this point. I'm just throwing out all the options. I would want to see as many guys as you can. I would just want to see how they approach this. Summer League is more fun when you get more of the younger players playing. I understand some of your high draft pick guys, but I even think like for the incoming rookie class, like even if they just play a couple games, they've barely played. You know, like if it's the G League Ignite guys, for instance. Like if your team, like if the Cavs draft the G League Ignite guy, let's say they take Jalen Green or Kuminga. Like, you could be in a position where these guys have just played the games they played in that bubble since they graduated high school. Like, I think even if it's 10 days and it's just them, like, getting some floor time, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world if you can get them out there. And, like, again, it's going to be tricky. It's going to be really condensed. But I'm excited. It's just another one of those signs, too, that things are getting more back to normal, even if it's going to be a very condensed, again, 10 days after the draft.
Sorry again for the audio issues there. We'll be back with a new episode, obviously, Monday. And sorry again for the issues there. We had some technical difficulties for whatever reason. Don't exactly know why. We'll fix them, hopefully, for next time. But have a great weekend. Talk to y'all soon.